Cell phones are the latest prison contraband. They've been used to intimidate and threaten witnesses, plan escapes, and orchestrate crimes on the outside. Todd Burke and Stephen Owen are professors of criminal justice at Radford University. They say cell phones pose a danger both to the prison population and to society at large. Todd, let me start with you. How much of a problem do we have with inmates smuggling cell phones into jails and prisons? Is it widespread or just something we fear?
Well, it's both. In a prison in Brazil, they actually use carrier pigeons to fly in the phones and to fly in and out the phone pieces. Just a couple of years ago, in 2008, approximately 2,800 devices, cell phone devices, were actually confiscated in California alone. Texas also had a problem where authorities recovered 300 wireless phones, and the scary part about it, 18 of those were death row inmates.
Why should that worry us so much? It doesn't sound right that a death row inmate should have a cell phone. On the other hand, it's a new world. A lot of people feel naked without their cell phones. What's so wrong with prisoners having them while they're doing time?
Well, let me just say this. These wireless phones have been used against assaults on law enforcement officers. They were used against banks.
Todd is right, but I'd also like to add another dimension to that. A number of phones today, as phones become more sophisticated, also have camera and video recording capabilities. And that's something that, depending on how an inmate used that, could pose a real security threat to the institution. I think it's also important to acknowledge that before cell phones, inmates were also using landline telephones in order to do some of the same things. And there are plenty of cases in the past where landline phones have been used to intimidate witnesses and arrange drug transactions and manage criminal activity on the street by inmates who are inside. So it's really not a new problem. It's a new technology for the same problem.
It's not just a threat to the people on the outside. There's a threat to the people on the inside. These cell phones have been used by inmates to threaten other inmates, to intimidate inmates, to threaten guards, to plan escapes. I believe it was in Texas, a death row inmate was charged with killing, who was charged with killing four people, including, by the way, some teenage girls, allegedly used the wireless cell phone from within the prison to threaten a senator and his family.
You know, another element that comes in with this as well is that if inmates have cell phones, particularly cell phones with internet capability, as many of them have today, that makes it that much easier for inmates, for example, to find out information not only about other inmates, but also about the correctional officers and the staff at the institution to use as a form of threats to correctional officers, like, I know where you live, or I know where your kids go to school.
So what sort of countermeasures are there? We've always had problems with contraband in prison.
Yes.
Usually it's been drugs and tobacco and weapons. How do we stop cell phones from coming in, and how are they getting in typically?
First, and this has been going on since prisons have been in existence, random searches. So I think that's an effective means of detecting cell phone devices. And what's even more creative now, from a correctional standpoint, is the use of canines, the use of dogs to detect the cell phones in prisons.
Detecting cell phones is difficult in prison. First of all, while Todd is right, the use of various mechanical systems and metal detectors and cell searches and shakedowns, that's all good, but that assumes that you have the staff to do that on a regular basis. This is further complicated because it's not just the cell phone, but it's also the SIM card that goes into that cell phone that contains the cell phone data. So in many ways, the SIM card is even more important, because if you lose the phone but have the SIM card, you can get a new phone and just put it right in the SIM card, put the SIM card right into that. That's very difficult to detect. Now, dogs are very effective at detecting cell phones and cell phone parts, but you know, in the state of Virginia, we have close to 40 prisons, and we don't have 40 cell phone dogs. So it's difficult to deploy the resources in a meaningful way.
I'm curious, smugglers typically are jail guards themselves or jail personnel themselves, in all honesty, or visitors?
Both. Unfortunately, in some cases, that is the way contraband makes its way into prison. The Texas Department of Corrections had a problem with that, in fact, and they found that The going rate for a cell phone, in terms of the bribe that an inmate would offer, was around $200. The going rate for heroin was $50. So you want to talk about the tables turning in this regard. Cell phones now are going for more than illegal drugs. One way that a lot of contraband gets into prison, including cell phones, is through routine deliveries. And the number of supplies that have to come and go into the prison, just the food supplies alone, is it really feasible to open every single food package before it gets to the prison kitchen?
What's also happening is you have inmates that are shaking down other inmates. For example, an inmate could charge another inmate $50 just to make a telephone call.
So I've read that one cell phone fighting technique is to try to jam the signal
Yes.
coming from the prison. Is that effective and easy?
Effective, yes. The jamming technology has to be very precisely focused, because the last thing you want to do is jam people's signals who are outside of the prison. In one of the early tests of cell phone jamming that was attempted at one institution wound up disabling cell phone service to approximately 200,000 nearby residents.
And it's not just the residents, it's somebody that's driving by. Let's say you have a police officer, and I'm speaking as a former police officer. If I need to transmit in cases of an emergency and it's being jammed, that is creating officer safety issues.
It's much more accurate now, so that when cell phone jamming is attempted inside a correctional institution, it does not interfere with cell phone signals outside. Now, this is a timely subject because right now there's a bill currently being considered by Congress called the Safe Prisons Communication Act, which, if passed, would allow cell phone jamming to be used in state correctional institutions.
You know, in addition to all this, I've read that another huge objection to allowing inmates to have cell phones is that the prisons make a lot of money, charging prisoners for use of the payphones, the old-fashioned payphones. All told, it amounts to about $100 million a year.
Many states, Virginia included, when they contract with that long-distance provider, there's a provision in the contract that gives the correctional system a commission on the phone calls that are made. Now, in the state of Virginia in fiscal year 2008, $4.9 million was returned to the state through these commissions. Because of the higher cost of making calls from a correctional institution, that's precisely a reason that some inmates want to have cell phones, because their families, if it's a collect call, may not have the resources to fund a lot of long-distance calling.
And that's the legitimate use for them using the phones. But remember, a cell phone is a way to get around the monitoring. Landline phones, pay phones included, are monitored.
They are monitored, or they can be monitored.
Some institutions actually record every outgoing phone call. Some don't. It varies by institution. I think it's safe to say that every institution has some sort of monitoring, but whether that's actually listening or recording or some other means would vary by the institution.
And they have one other thing. Many institutions will do this, that you are allowed a number of calls, but if you're going to make a phone call from a prison telephone, that the number that you're calling has to be pre-approved. Now, that's the benefit of having a cell phone from the part of the inmate is, hey, they don't have to worry about being monitored. They can call whomever they wish, which is a great security risk.
This is so much more complex an issue than I had any idea before we started talking. Could you let the vast majority of inmates have their cell phones as ways of easing rehabilitation? And could you have those that are gang members or violent criminals or demonstrating misuse of the cell phone contact separated somehow?
I don't think that there is a right to a cell phone. It's better to err on the side of caution. It's better to err on the side of security.
Once an item enters the prison, at that point, realistically, it becomes very difficult to imagine that it would not be able to enter all areas of the prison. So even if we said this particular housing unit or this particular cell block was allowed to have cell phones, believe me, there are ways that the inmates would find to make sure that inmates in other housing units also were able to have access to those cell phones. So there's not really an easy, practical way to give to some, but to deny to others. In prisons, we've always seen inmates be able to access those things on the outside that they desire, whether or not there are rules against it.
Well, Todd and Steve, this has been so interesting. Thanks for talking with me today on With Good Reason.
It's our pleasure.
Absolutely.
Todd Burke and Stephen Owen are professors of criminal justice at Radford University. Their article, Cell Phones as Prison Contraband, will be published in an issue of the Law Enforcement Bulletin. Coming up next, focusing police efforts on crime hotspots.